You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rasuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-asqiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, today by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be completing the first third of the Qur'an, inshallah. We'll be completing 10 juz tonight. And a part of today's recitation, we recited Surah At-Tawbah. One day, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was sitting with a group of companions and he asked them, has anyone sitting here memorized Surah At-Tawbah? So one of the companions, he raised his hand, he said, yes, I have it memorized. So then Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to this person, read it to me. So he started reading from the beginning of Surah Tawbah, Bara'atun min Allahi wa Rasulihi, and he kept reading ayah after ayah after ayah. Until finally he came to the ayah, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. When he came to this verse, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he lowered his head and he started crying. He cried so much, and the companions that were sitting there, they asked him, oh Abu Bakr, why are you crying? He said, I was the sahib. Ana sahibuhu. Now what is this ayah talking about? The ayah refers to the incident where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in migration. 53 years of oppression in Makkah Mukarramah. And there was no one that was showing love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From Makkah Mukarramah, there was pure hate and abuse. He went to Taif, pure hate and abuse. Abyssinia, some Sahaba were living there, but the Prophet ﷺ wanted to focus on Jaziratul Arab first. He wanted to first focus on the Arabian Peninsula. So now the Prophet ﷺ is waiting, who will take us in, who will take us in? And then a group of people who had an open heart and were loving people, who came from Medina, they came for the season of Hajj, they invited the Prophet ﷺ to Medina Munawwara. The companions began to migrate in bunches, in small groups. And the Prophet ﷺ was waiting for his turn. When permission is granted to the Prophet ﷺ, he starts off the migration. And his companion is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The people of Makkah Mukarramah, when they find out that the Prophet is migrating, they become so frustrated that they put a bounty on the head of the Prophet ﷺ. Anyone that brings him back to Makkah Mukarramah, 100 camels. 100 camels was a price that was beyond value in those days. A camel today is valued at $1,000 plus. That was $100,000. There was nothing that the Meccan market sold that was worth $100,000. That was enough for you and your generations to come. And obviously, the commodity of a camel was so much more. The price was so much more then. You know, you had like the Toyotas, which were like the donkeys, right? Then you had the Fords, which were like the horses. Then you had the Ferraris, the camels. These were the highest form of transportation. People used to take oaths off them and praise them so much. Every young man is in the streets of Makkah Mukarramah, and every pathway that leads to Medina, they're searching everyone because this is their chance to become a millionaire. All the mothers are sending their kids out, all the wives are sending their husbands out saying, go out and make us a millionaire. You have a chance if you catch it first. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he's with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Makkah Mukarramah geographically is south of Medina. If you look at a map, you'll realize Makkah is south, Medina is north. So the migration should be in the direction of north. But as soon as the migration starts, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, if we go north, they're going to catch us because we can't outrun them. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is how old at this time? 53. And his bodyguard, his companion, how old is he? 51 years old. If I was to tell you there's a 53-year-old man on foot from Makkah to Medina, and his bodyguard is 51 years old, what would you say? That's a failed operation. Both of them are going to complain, my leg's hurting, my head's hurting, I need my diabetes injection, I need this, I need that. They're going to be complaining about neck strains. But here he says to the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, rather than us going north, let's fool them and let's go south. Let's go the opposite direction. So the Prophet agrees and they go the opposite direction. And when they're going in the opposite direction, what happens is that some of the people of Makkah, they think that what if they're fooling us and they're going in the opposite direction? So they begin to follow. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at sometimes while walking with the Prophet, he would walk way ahead, and sometimes he would go way behind, and sometimes he would go extremely to the right, and sometimes extremely to the left. And the Prophet would ask him, oh Abu Bakr, why are you doing this? Why don't you stand next to me? He said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah has given me the responsibility to deliver you to Medina. And if that means to search for the enemy in front, behind, right, and left, I will make sure I search for them. And if anyone comes towards you, they're going to have to go over me before they reach you. I won't reach Medina Munawwara alive alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he praises Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. See, you know, when you think about it, what was it that made the Prophet choose Abu Bakr as his companion in Hijrah? It wasn't his strength, because we all know from the hadith of Bukhari, he was a very slim man. He was so thin that his pants couldn't sit on his waist. They would slide down all the time. He had a very thin waist. See, he was a slim person. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, you know, he was an older man too. There were younger companions like Ali who were so much younger, and he was there that day as well when the Prophet chose Abu Bakr. Why did he choose Abu Bakr? So the scholars, they say there are two things about Abu Bakr that were very special. The first thing was his absolute unmatched love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one could match him in the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in a gathering, and he said to the companions, there are three things I love very dearly. I love fragrance, I love a pious wife, and the coolness of my eyes is in salah, wa qurratu ayni fi salah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was sitting there, he raised his hand, he said, O Messenger of Allah, can I tell you three things I love? The Prophet said, go ahead. He said, I love sitting here looking at your beautiful face. I love working all day and then bringing all of my money home, and I love spending all of it on you. And I take pride in saying that my daughter Aisha is the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the historians, they say that when the Prophet was born, he was born an orphan, no father. Then 6 years later, he is holding his mother's hand while she passes away. And then 2 years later, he's next to his grandfather when he passes away. It's as if all of his family was taken away. You know, in a family, if there's a father and mother, they have one child only, the parents always worried, my child's going to be lonely, he won't have any play buddy. But here, not only was there a play buddy, but the parents themselves weren't there. I mean, which Abdullah, which father wouldn't want to hold his child's hand and play with him on the playground? If I knew my son was to be a prophet, hypothetically, I wouldn't want to be there for the toughest times in his life so I could take the stones of thighs before they would hit my son. But here, Abdullah is made to make a sacrifice that your son is a prophet, but you won't get to see him in the dunya. And Amina is made to make a sacrifice that your son is a prophet, but you won't see him till the age of maturity. And the grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, the one who named him, it's as if he's being told, your grandson is going to be a prophet, but you won't be there to support him. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born without family. But the scholars, they say, where Allah took away family members from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replaced them with the Sahaba. And now Abu Bakr is like a father to the Prophet, where he's saying, I want to earn all day and spend my money on you. And he's making statements like a mother would say, that, O Messenger of Allah, you know, I love sitting here looking at your beautiful face all day. That's something a mother would say to her child. And he's like a brother to the Prophet, where he's saying, and I'm proud to say my daughter is your wife, of the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, the parents were taken away, but then the Sahaba came into place. And out of all the Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he's traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the migration. The enemy is catching up. They're going south now. And his plan could also be busted. So he says, O Messenger of Allah, if they keep following us, they're going to know two pairs of footsteps and they're going to catch us. So I have a plan. Why don't you jump on my back? You know, one day the Prophet, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, was in the market and he was doing some business. And he bought something from Azib radiallahu anhu. When he bought it from him, he said to him, that can you ask your son Barra to carry this load back home for me? So Azib said that I'll ask my son to do it, but before I ask him to do it, you have to tell me how you did it in migration. He said, how did I do what? He said, today you can't carry this bag, but just a few years ago, the story is that you carried the Prophet on your shoulders all the way up the cave until Thawr. So then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, you want to hear the story? Let me tell you how it went that day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I lifted him on my shoulders. And I carried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way up the mountain. Today, if you go and you look at the top of the mountain, your neck will hurt, right? And he's carrying, and imagine the adrenaline rush. You can get caught any moment. The most tense scene of any action movie you've seen in your life is nothing compared to this scene, because this is real. This is not a joke. This is history on the shoulders of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No one's ever carried in the history of mankind such a big burden. On his shoulders is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he has to be a good climber, because if he slips, what's going to happen? The Nabuwa falls. The Prophet falls. He has to have good stamina, good strength, and he's carrying away the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he reaches the top of the mountain, who should be tired? Abu Bakr or the Prophet? Abu Bakr, right? He says, O Messenger of Allah, there's a cave here. Before we go in, let me first secure it and make sure there's nothing that will harm you. He cleans the cave out. He says, Marhaban ya Nabi, O Messenger of Allah, come in now. Then he says, O Messenger of Allah, you must be tired, why don't you go to sleep? You know, he's the one that should be tired, but he tells the Prophet to go to sleep. And the Prophet is sitting on the Prophet, lying on Abu Bakr's thigh, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh is just enjoying those special moments, because he's the only one that can make that claim, other than the wives of the Prophet وسلم, that he spent 3 days and three nights only him and the Prophet in the cave. Only him and the Prophet in the cave. And then after this, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions that what happened was that, actually the hadith mentions, and I'll quote the ayah afterwards. What happened during this period was, the people of Makkah Mukarramah somehow caught up. And they came right outside the cave. Now, the suspense is only increasing. The tensity is only increasing. Abu Bakr can see they're climbing the mountain and his heart is beating and they're getting closer and closer until the point where they're standing right outside. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu himself says it in a narration, I had never been scared in my life other than that one moment. That was the one moment that I was really scared. Other than that moment, I had never been scared in my life. I had never tasted fear. But that moment when they were outside, my heart was thumping and I was so scared. I said, O Messenger of Allah, what is going to happen? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this ayah. And this is the ayah that Abu Bakr heard that day and he started crying. Because it reminded him of the old days, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 12 years ago. What is the ayah? قَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ. Remember that moment when they were sitting together in the cave? Only two of them. And he whispered in his companion's ear, that what's going to happen to us? We're in trouble. And the Prophet ﷺ whispered back to him, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Don't grieve, don't be worried, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us today. Allah. And this is what made Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh a very special person. One day a person came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh and he said to him, Umar, you are better than Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu, Umar radiallahu anh replied back to this person saying, Wallahi, my entire life cannot match to one night and one day of Abu Bakr. Allah. The night that I refer to is the night that he held the Prophet in his lap while they were in the cave of Thawr. He said, the day that I refer to is the day the Prophet passed away and the people were on the verge of leaving Islam, and Abu Bakr gave one of the most powerful speeches that day. And he saved the Arab from leaving Islam. One day and one night of Abu Bakr, my entire life cannot match. One day Aisha radiallahu anha was lying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she asked the Prophet, they were looking into the stars together. And she asked the Messenger of Allah, is there anyone in the world whose deeds match the number of stars in the sky? The Prophet said, yes, there is. Aisha said, who is it? His response was, Umar. So then Aisha became a little sad. She went quiet. The Prophet asked her, Aisha, why aren't you talking anymore? She said, O Messenger of Allah, I knew you were going to see someone's name, but I was hoping that name would be my father Abu Bakr, not Umar. So then the Prophet said, Umar's entire life cannot match one night of Abu Bakr. Because the man was someone who was selfless. He's sitting in the cave, and imagine this, just so that the Prophet can sleep, he's allowing the venom of a snake flow through his body. Because he doesn't want the Prophet to be disturbed in his sleep, and the snake is biting away on his foot. You guys know the narration, very common narration. And then the Prophet puts the saliva on his foot. He was a person who loved the Prophet so much. Right? And his love wasn't only in his heart, it was in his actions. He was just like the Prophet in the actions too. One day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in a gathering. You know, many of us, we claim we love the Prophet, but in actions we're at zero. One day the Prophet was sitting in the gathering. He said, who is fasting from amongst you? Who raises his hand? Abu Bakr. Who visited a sick today? Who raises his hand? Abu Bakr raises his hand. He said, who followed the burial today? Who raises his hand? Abu Bakr raised his hand. And the Prophet continued to ask him questions. And every question he asked, the only person that raised his hand in the gathering was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr. It's as if to him, it wasn't only an internal feeling, but it was actually actions too. He was, and this wasn't a day that he knew the Prophet was going to ask. This was just a normal day in his life. He did all of the good deeds, different aspects, different good deeds. He brought them into himself. He was a very special person. You know, I just want to fast forward to the day Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu actually passed away. When he had taken a bath one morning, and after taking a bath, his hair became very wet. And when his hair became wet, it caused him to catch maybe some sort of fever or some sickness. Wallahu a'lam, the scholars, they say that it was some kind of illness that he got into because of the wetness on his body and the cold weather. And he became ill. And he had been sick for a few days. One morning he woke up and he asked Aisha, what day is it today? She said, it's Monday. So then he said, Alhamdulillah, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even give me death on the same day my Habib had his death. Allahu Akbar. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at the age of 63, exactly 2 years after the Prophet, he passes away on a Monday as well. The scholars, they say, no one in the Ummah can match the rank of Abu Bakr. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked in the masjid. And in his right hand was the hand of Abu Bakr. In his left hand, the hand of Umar was there. And when they walked into the masjid, the other sahaba that were sitting there, they said, we looked at them and we all started smiling because the three of them looked like, they looked so beautiful. And the Prophet said, we are friends like this in the world, and we will be resurrected like this on the Day of Judgment as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to have the love that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have the iman, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be truthful in every aspect of our life and also be deserving of the title As-Siddiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa alihi wa sallam.